Okay, let's unpack this. What an incredible week it's been in the world of football.
Absolutely. That first international groove of the autumn season, it really delivered.
It really did. We saw, well, a potent cocktail of historic milestones, breathtaking goal scoring, and some really dramatic turning points on the road to the 2026 FIFA World Cup.
Yeah, loads to get into.
So our mission for this deep dive is basically to cut through all the noise, you know? Extract the most important knowledge, the key insights from the sources about these recent World Cup qualifiers.
And those astounding individual performances we saw between September 1st and 9th.
Exactly. We're going to explore how the superstars really delivered on the biggest stages, how teams navigated, well, immense pressure.
And what it all means, sort of, for the landscape of global football is that next World Cup starts to loom a bit larger.
You know, when you think about immense pressure, there's arguably no player under a brighter spotlight right now than France's new captain, Kylian Mbappé.
Definitely.
And this week, he faced a proper test, didn't he? In their tense 2-1 victory over a really stubborn Iceland.
Stubborn is right. And France actually found themselves trailing early in that one.
Yeah, it was far from a comfortable night for Les Bleus.
It's striking, though, to consider the sheer weight of history Mbappe carries. I mean, his penalty kick in that
That
man.
pivotal one, yeah.
Right, his 52nd goal for France. It didn't just level the score, it actually propelled him past Thierry Henry
The legend
into
himself.
sole possession of second place on France's all-time men's goal scoring chart. And he's just 26 years old.
Incredible.
So the conversation, among the sources isn't if he'll break Giroud's record of 57 goals.
It's when.
It's when, exactly, and by how much he'll redefine it. He's on a trajectory that, well, it could set a benchmark for generations.
That's an astonishing individual achievement, definitely. But what really stood out for me in the reports was his overall impact, like beyond just the record books. The team itself, it was described as delivering an incomplete performance, wasn't it? With moments of sloppy buildup, defensive fragility.
Yeah, not their best showing overall.
Yet in that sort of crucible, Mbappe really showcased the leadership side. He didn't chase personal glory after his penalty.
No, he didn't.
Instead, you had that intelligent run onto a sublime long ball, and then the unselfish square pass for Barcola.
Yeah, just tapped it into an empty net, secured the winning goal.
That's a captain's play, isn't it?
Absolutely. The sources really emphasized how this performance highlights his evolution. From that precocious talent to a genuinely mature captain.
Yeah.
Because France was in serious trouble, trailing early after that defensive lapse from Elise. Johnsen punished it
Dealt with a
ruthlessly.
head card.
And then they were forced to play with 10 men after Tchouaméni got that straight red. A studs-up challenge.
Nasty one.
So one analyst actually described Mbappe's assist as a moment of pure captaincy, saying he prioritized the team's victory above all.
Right, embodying that selflessness needed to drag a team through adversity.
Exactly. And it makes you ponder, doesn't it? How these moments, these chaotic, high-stakes scenarios, truly forge a captain's leadership.
That commitment to the team win.
Mbappe wasn't just adding to his goal tally, he was actively shaping his team's destiny right there, in real time.
That's a powerful insight into the making of a captain. So, okay, from the ascendant king of France, let's pivot. Let's talk about two other global superstars who absolutely lit up the week,
Okay.
showcasing different but equally breathtaking facets of attacking genius.
Right.
First up, the Nordic phenomenon, Erling Haaland. I mean, if you're just hearing the scoreline now,
That's
you
unbelievable.
genuinely might not believe it. Norway produced, well, arguably the most staggering result of the week, dismantling Moldova 11-1.
11. Just brutal.
And Haaland was predictably right at the heart of it all, a casual 5 goals,
Casual, yeah, right?
including a first half hat trick completed in just 32 minutes. And he kicked off the scoring too, assisting Felix Hornmeyer for the opener, his international record now.
It's ridiculous.
Astonishing. 48 goals in just 45 appearances for Norway. It's just relentless.
The striking point here is the sheer, almost brutal efficiency of Norway's attack.
Yeah.
And while Hammond grabbed the headlines, obviously it wasn't solely a one-man show.
No, that's true.
The substitute, fellow Asgard, scored 4 goals himself.
4 goals off the bench.
Yeah, becoming only the third player in World Cup qualifying history to do that as a sub.
Wow.
So the combined 9 goals from Haaland and Asgard, plus Meyer and Edegaard, it powered Norway to this historic win.
And what does that do for the group?
Well, it rockets Norway to the top of Group I. Perfect record, 5 wins from 5.
And clear of Italy.
A remarkable, 6 points clear of Italy, the traditional powerhouse. So it raises a critical point. This isn't just a win, it's a terrifying statement of intent.
Debt.
The sources suggested it's a message that Norway, you know, often seen as a dark horse, is now a genuine force, capable of redefining the dynamics of their group, maybe even Europe's footballing hierarchy.
They've really gone from promising to dominant, haven't they?
They really have.
Terrifying indeed for their rivals. But okay, from that raw statistical dominance, let's turn to a different kind of legend. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, yes. CR7.
At 40 years old, still defying time, still rewriting history, this time in Portugal's thrilling, hard-fought 3-2 win over Hungary.
This man truly doesn't quit.
He really doesn't.
And this brings up that crucial debate, you know.
Yeah.
About sustained excellence and the limits of age in elite sports. Ronaldo's penalty goal, the one that gave Portugal the lead in the 58th minute.
Yeah.
That was his 39th career goal in FIFA World Cup qualifying matches, drawing him level with Carlos Ruiz of Guatemala.
Level for the all-time record.
For the most in the competition's history.
Yes.
And the match itself was a proper back-and-forth classic.
It really was. Hungary struck first.
Then they equalized dramatically through Barnabas Varga, late on, 84th minute. Looked like they'd snatched a point.
But Portugal responded.
Almost immediately. Fueled by Ronaldo's presence, yes. But needing that brilliant late João Cancelo strike from outside the box.
That was a beauty, 86th minute.
Secured the win. One report described Ronaldo as the beating heart of Portugal's resilience.
Nice phrase.
Emphasizing that his goal wasn't just a statistic, but a crucial turning point in a genuinely difficult match. It's just a testament to an unparalleled career, isn't it?
Absolutely. Sustained excellence. Proving that elite decisive impact isn't solely the domain of the young.
He continues to set an example for longevity that, frankly, few can match.
So, okay, we've got Mbappe solidifying his captaincy, Haaland tearing up the record books, Ronaldo defying father time. What does this all mean for the broader landscape of elite talent when we look at these three together?
Well, when you view them in tandem like this, you really see a compelling triptych of attacking greatness this week.
Triptych, I like that.
You have Mbappe, the ascendant king. He's not just claiming his throne as a national icon. He's showing maturity leadership beyond his years, moving beyond pure goal scoring to lift the team.
Right.
Then you have Haaland. He represents that unstoppable force of nature, redefining statistical possibility with raw power and almost alien-like efficiency.
Like a machine.
Pretty much. And then there's Ronaldo, the enduring legend. He isn't just battling time and history. He's winning.
Yeah.
Showing that relentless dedication, that unquenchable will to win, can keep you at the pinnacle.
So different forms of dominance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Each showcases a different yet equally impactful form of dominance, painting a powerful picture of the various stages and forms of footballing greatness shaping the modern game.
It's a fascinating look at how different types of genius manifest. Okay, beyond these individual fireworks, the road to 2026 saw some significant turns across Europe.
Yes, the qualifiers are heating up.
Let's get a continental roundup. How are the groups shaping up? England first. They delivered arguably the most impressive team performance of the week.
That 5-0 win in Belgrade, yeah, that was something.
Stunning demolition of Serbia in a notoriously hostile place where Serbia hadn't lost for 2 years.
That makes it even more impressive.
Captain Harry Kane obviously scored again, his 74th international goal. Noni Madueke got his first for his country, which must have felt great for him.
Always special, the first one.
Then second half strikes from Konsa Gueye and a late penalty from Rashford sealed it. A truly comprehensive victory.
And like you said, in that environment, one report described the crowd as a cacophony of whistles and jeers from the moment the bus pulled up.
Yeah, so to perform that dominantly in that kind of pressure cooker really says something.
Indeed. And placing this in context, Thomas Tuchel's side now has a perfect record. 5 wins from 5 matches.
And no goals conceded.
Incredibly. Yet to concede a single goal in the entire campaign. They now sit a commanding 7 points clear at the top of Group K.
So qualification was pretty much nailed on.
All but secured, yeah. Which brings up a crucial question. How does such early, overwhelming dominance impact morale, strategy, and maybe the psychological perception among rivals?
Right. Does it build confidence or add pressure?
Exactly. The sources suggest it's about building this aura of invincibility that could serve them well, but also brings its own pressure to maintain that standard.
That's a strong statement from England, but not all teams had such an easy time, did they?
Far from it.
The fortunes in Group F couldn't have been more different. While Portugal celebrated their dramatic win, the Republic of Ireland's World Cup hopes were left, and I quote, hanging by a thread
Oh, dear.
after a catastrophic 2-1 defeat to Armenia, a side ranked 105th in the world.
Ouch. That's a bad result.
Evan Ferguson got a consolation goal, but strikes from Spurtzian and Ranos gave Armenia a famous win, and for Ireland, just devastating. The mood, according to reports, was utter despair.
The striking point here is that that fine margin in international football, especially for, let's say, second-tier nations, this result leaves Ireland with just 1 point from their opening two matches, facing an enormous uphill battle.
Doesn't sound good.
No. One Irish pundit was quoted saying, "This wasn't just a defeat, it was a systemic failure that exposes a growing chasm in consistency and quality."
Wow. Strong words.
It really highlights how one poor result, as Ireland tragically found out, can just prove fatal to an entire campaign. Their dreams aren't just in tatters, they're almost entirely extinguished unless something miraculous happens.
A very tough pill to swallow for Ireland. Okay, moving over to Group H, Austria claimed a massive win.
Yes, 2-1 away victory over Bosnia-Herzegovina. Crucial top-of-the-table clash.
Marcel Sabitzer gave Austria the lead.
Only for Edin Dzeko, the Bosnian legend, to equalize a minute later. Still got it.
Still got it indeed. But Austria had the final say, Konrad Lehmer scoring the decisive winner.
And this victory, on the road against their main rivals, it dramatically shifts the balance of power in Group H.
Puts Austria in a strong position.
A commanding position to secure automatic qualification. The sources highlighted this as a tactical masterclass. Resilience, seizing opportunities under pressure.
Crucial away points.
It just underscores the immense importance of getting points against direct competitors, especially away from home. Austria showed not just skill, but real mental fortitude.
Okay, and just quickly touching on the rest of Europe, the qualification picture continued to evolve. Some surprises.
Always a few twists.
Group D, Ukraine held 1-1 by Azerbaijan. Frustrating draw for them, losing ground on France, seen as a significant setback.
Yeah, not ideal.
Then a 2-2 draw between Cyprus and Romania in Group H didn't really help either side catch the top two. A missed opportunity, you could say.
Pretty much cancels each other out.
And in Group K, Albania kept the pressure on England. A vital 1-1 home win over Latvia.
Cementing their place as the main challengers.
Yeah, showing they won't make it easy for the three lions. So what we're seeing consistently is, well, the traditional powers are mostly navigating their paths efficiently.
Getting the job done.
But the margin for error for those second-tier nations is just razor thin. Dreams made or broken in a single moment.
That's international football for you.
And finally, let's take a quick glance at the global stage. International friendlies offered a glimpse into preparations elsewhere.
Right. Teams from other confederations.
Most notably, one of the 2026 World Cup co-hosts, Canada. They got an impressive result, didn't they?
They did. A morale-boosting 1-0 victory over Wales away in Swansea.
The decisive moment came from Canadian defender Derek Cornelius.
That free kick.
A superb 25-yard free kick, 41st minute. Left the keeper with absolutely no chance.
What's really key here for Canada, you know, as a co-host with automatic qualification, is that these friendlies aren't just about winning.
Right, it's about preparation.
Exactly. The sources emphasized how this victory, especially away in Europe against solid opposition, gives them invaluable tactical insights. A significant morale boost, too.
Helps avoid complacency.
Precisely. That can sometimes affect automatically qualified teams. Allows them to test formations, integrate talent, build cohesion under competitive, albeit friendly, conditions. There's a statement, really.
Canada intends to be more than just a host.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw the Trans-Tasman rivalry renewed, Australia getting the better of New Zealand, 3-1.
Traditional friendly fixture there.
And these matches, you know, free from that intense qualification pressure, they are incredibly valuable. Testing players, trying out tactics, building cohesion.
Like laboratory experiments for the World Cup, almost.
Yeah, exactly. So, wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you as someone keen to understand the global game? We've seen a week of truly incredible individual feats, pivotal team performances.
Yeah, it's really set the stage for the rest of the qualification cycle, hasn't it? And given us a glimpse into the future of football's biggest stage.
It really has.
And when we connect all these stories, the individual ones, the team ones, to the bigger picture, it just underscores that fundamental truth about football. The established order often dominates, yes. But the beautiful game always leaves room for the unexpected. for new records, for drama right down to the wire. You know, from Mbappe's calculated brilliance to Haaland's raw power to Ronaldo's timeless defiance.
These narratives are weaving the tapestry.
Exactly, a tapestry of the next World Cup, which raises, I think, an important question for you to ponder. As 2026 draws closer, which of these compelling narratives, the rise of a new king, the relentless force of nature, or the enduring power of a legend, which do you think will ultimately define this qualification cycle and capture the world's imagination?
Something to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.